What's happening? Hi, Mr. Mill.
Hello?
Hi, this is Andrew Mill, please.
Yes, this is.
Hey, Andrew, it's Michael calling from MMA Legal here. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Fantastic. Andrew, do you have 10 minutes to chat with me about your Scottish Reed wrestling, sir?
Yeah, sure. I'm sorry, look, I'm just thought I'd mention I'm quite hard to hear, so I'm not being rude.
Okay.
You know,
anything in the call, Andrew, you can't hear me, or you need me to repeat something, just let me know, okay?
Okay.
And I'll repeat it. Just to let you know, Andrew, all of our calls are recorded for training and monitoring purposes. It's my role, Andrew, to go out and gather the evidence for you for your case. So that's my inviting to social services up in Dundee, education authority and the like. But it's also to get to know you a bit better. And try and understand the trauma that you faced as a child, how those had an effect on you as an adult. What I'll do then, Andrew, is I'll write to your GP, your any sort of addiction charities, NHS Trust, and I'll gather an overall picture of Andrew, not just in care, but also because of what? Because of care, if that makes sense?
Yeah, I completely understand.
Yeah, what we do, Andrew, is we try and paint an accurate picture of, obviously, the trauma in care and, you know, the trauma in care and how that's affected you. Scottish leaders have to take that into consideration when they're deliberating on our case. And it's just to give you the best chance of getting the most out of this process, to be fair.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you some pretty tough questions, Andrew, so I do apologise massively in advance. I am sorry, buddy. But I wouldn't be doing my job representing you as a client if I didn't ask, so I am sorry.
Yeah, that's fine. Carry on.
Thank you. Have you ever been diagnosed with any sort of anxiety or depression, Andrew?
Actually, not officially, but kind of unofficially. What's your first name again, please?
Sorry?
What's your first name again?
Michael.
Michael.
Yeah.
I've actually very rarely went to the doctor. I went to visit the doctor probably about, maybe 10 years ago. And they were quite shocked because they said, well, actually, Mr. Mill, you've not been in here for the past 7 years. And I said, well, the reason I'm here is because I've got a problem with drinking, and it's got to a problem where it's got to a level where I'm concerned myself.
Yeah.
And they basically asked about the background of like what my sort of day to day thing was. And there was actually two doctors in the room. Because I wasn't the type of person to actually come and see them very often, so and I mentioned the amount that I was drinking, and they were concerned, so the guy says, I think you're actually maybe depressed.
Yeah.
Because you go through the same routine every day, you meet the same faces, you don't sort of, you're kind of semi-isolated yourself, and he says, don't you think you might be depressed? I go, well, I don't know, mate. I mean, sometimes you might be suffering from someone and it takes an outsider to come to that conclusion. So then they tested me, and all that kind of stuff, and that was actually okay. And considering the amount that I was drinking over the period of time I was drinking, they were quite short. So that was about 10 years ago. I tried to sort of cut down on it. But it just wasn't happening. And I think a lot of it does stem from where I was young. I mean, the problem is at least a bottle of water a day, every single day.
Oh, wow.
You still
drinking, Andrew?
Yeah, on and off. I try and sort of go on the wagon and be a good boy type thing, but then, you know, things happen and it just sort of drives me back off the wagon again. I think I really haven't time. I'm actually a chef. That's what I've been doing for most of my life and
hospitality. Big drinkers anyway, aren't they?
Yeah, and it's a very, you know, I don't undervalue anyone's job, but it's definitely it's a very, very stressful environment you're in.
Yeah, I thought I'd
been 5 years. Well, yes, well, you know, I'm glad that you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, the college, I'm classically trained. And I went
to the industry
for about four years, yeah.
Yeah, well, same here. I did my apprenticeship in Australia. I was there for college for 4 years.
Yeah.
And I thought, yeah, I'm going to embark on a nice career, but, you know, it slowly just drives you down. And you realise that there's other jobs you can do the equal amount of pay, but just less of the hassle. So that's one of the reasons. I've just finished working. It's mainly hotels.
Okay.
I just finished an establishment, and that was due to drink. My sister was. You guys know the level 4 secondary breast cancer.
Oh,
and that kind of threw me, ended up getting drunk. I had been done with drink driving before, and that really screwed me up, and I promised that I wouldn't put myself in that position again. So I'm well aware of when I can jump into the car and when I can't. So, yeah. I mean, I couldn't go back up to the job, and then they eventually sacked me. So now I'm actually... I just received information a few days ago, and now when the door office don't see you having a reasonable excuse, they can sanction you.
Okay.
And they've just sanctioned me for 91 days, so that's 3 months without any money. It's a worry at the moment, so. But you know, you just have to empty out there. But yeah, all in all, Michael, I think, you know, I'm sure my parents have had a lot to do with, you know, part of it.
Yeah, definitely. Drinking massively has, we see a lot of addiction, obviously, in this job that we're doing currently, helping survivors of the care system, and addiction is rife, should we say, because of, you know, past trauma and childhood trauma. Okay. Have you, I'll go off topic here a second on this claim, but what was you doing in the hotel? Was you doing like breakfast, or was you doing with the like a brasserie in there, or room service? What was you doing? I went to a hotel once and I loved it. I've done 12 months. We had like a brasserie in there, and every 4 weeks you'd have to do the breakfast on the weekend, which is a 4 o'clock start. Probably,
yeah. Yeah, but like, you know, I've worked in the industry for years, and sometimes they abuse that. Sometimes they'll get the breakfast chef to come in, and, you know, it's an early start, and then, well, breakfast finishes at 10 o'clock in the morning, and then you've got to prep up for the following day, and then on top of that, they'll probably ask you to do lunch, and then you'll get a few hours off, and then you're back in at 5, 6 o'clock with an evening service, and then you might work starters and desserts or whatever. But in sort of recent years, I've been a chef de partie, so you know you set up someone who is responsible for a particular section in the kitchen, whether it be a larder section, a salt section, or a sushi section. So, yeah, I've been a chef of party for many years. I used to actually work for an agency, and they would send you to lots of different places. One week you might go as a sous chef to some place, and then the following week you're a head chef somewhere else. Just depends on what needs must.
I used to do agency work over weekends for like weddings and stuff. We used to jump on a little agency. We had a friend who owned an agency, so we used to get to work, and we'd go and on a week, we had a very rare weekend off on the Saturday. We don't jump on a wedding.
Yeah. But yeah, I've quite enjoyed doing weddings and, banquets. I think that's what we call it, banquets.
Yeah,
I love doing things like that. It's very odd, God. You're surprised about what comes through the door, because all the menus were key or something, I see all that. That was just fun. Yeah,
like we had something big dish racks. We've seen them where you put all the plates on pre-done.
They're called Jack Stands.
Jack Stands, yeah, right, man, right, yeah, Jesus.
Yeah.
I think 20 odd years since I was in the kitchen, but.
That's the good thing about most banqueting food. Usually starts with a cold starter.
Yeah.
So maybe you just say pate, because then you could put that up quite earlier in the day, and then wrap your jack stand and cling film.
Put it in the fridge.
And bang it in the fridge. Aye, and that's the starter we're out of the day. And then we generally finish off with a cold dessert, when people are having their main course, you get the guys in their section plating up the dessert. Maybe you just get a finished that particular plate off of a sauce or something as it goes out, but most of the work's done.
Thank you for taking me down that memory lane. Getting back to your claim, Andrew, did you take any sort of medication when the doctor suggested you were depressed?
Well, I've got really high blood pressure, and he wanted to take some blood tests before he gave me medication to control the blood pressure, because you've got to make sure that your kidneys are functioning properly.
Yeah.
So he done that, and he put me on some blood pressure medicine for a short time, but then, like I said, I just, that kind of dissipated, and I've not been back there since that's been quite a few years now.
Okay. I might see them anyway, see what he's got in there, to see if there's anything helpful in there for us. Maybe that there's mention of your alcoholism, your depression, maybe something in there, so I'll write to them anyway. I've got a real tough one, Andrew. It's the one I don't like asking. Have you ever tried to take your own life?
No.
Okay.
No, I've not. I don't know. I've continually, over a period of time, I've really isolated myself from friends and family. I stay in a flat in Perth, and I don't think I've had anyone other than myself walk through my front door over the past 2 years. I let people just live their life, and I'm just letting you live mine type thing. That's been the way it is over the past 2 years.
Do you get out of the house much? Do you go for walks or any sort of, or are you just...
Michael, I'm quite close away. I just only go out if I absolutely have to. I've lost the car because I'm no longer working.
Yeah, of course.
I just couldn't keep up with payments, so that's out the door. I have to say, in a place where public transport not the best. I very rarely go out.
Okay, so what I'll do is I'll take your GP details, Andrew. I'll write your GP anyway to see what's in there. I'll also obviously write to the social services up in Dundee. When I get your information back from your time in care, Andrew, do you want me to share that with you?
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see, how the things work out.
Yeah.
Like I'm speaking to your colleague, there's just a few kind of anomalies when I reflect back when I'm in care, but I don't think they're really appropriate. Like, I don't know if you've got that information, but when I was in Iran, they had a boxing ring. They had a boxing ring up in the attic. And if you were a kid, you're probably 10-year-old when I was there. If you had a problem with somebody else, then they'd go up, right up there. Get the dogs on. And then, you've got two kids knocking the shit, and pumping the shit out of one another. That's no big care factor. Another time, I remember the star, she took me to, her husband was a pilot in the Royal Air Force, and she took me to the IAF. I could remember her sitting me down in the house and she's like, look at this vaccine colour of eyes you get. It's as if we've got I think they were looking for a kid with similar features to the husband.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's for adoption or not, but I could remember on the way to the place, she kept mentioning my mother. Your mother's not really talking about you looking after you, you're probably better without her, type thing. Now I'm thinking to myself, I'm sure that the rest of the staff, they knew that she was taking me for that day, right? But they were consistent in it. It's not something that you can actually do offhanded, especially when you've got a kid in the chair.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure that they knew exactly what was going on, but it was kept on the hush hush. But my name was different when I was in the children's home. My son name was Jones.
It's just let me see if I've got that information here. No, I haven't. It's Andrew Jones, yeah?
Yeah, Andrew Jones.
Your name's Andrew?
No, just that. That was my stepfather's name, but when he passed away, I found out it's my mother's maiden name, because I never actually knew my father. So, when he passed away, I reverted back to Andrew Milk.
Okay. Okay. Do you have any sort of documentation to prove the prisoner name change, or is obviously everything been nil now?
Well, it's been nil for quite some time now, maybe 30 years. I think that I didn't have to go in Scotland at the time. You didn't actually have to go through the depot to change your name. You just informed the various authorities, which this is my name now. And that was actually the name that was on my birth certificate.
Yeah.
So it was easy for me to transfer everything over to that name.
Okay. Yes, no, that's fine. I'll need you to give your call about the passport. Okay. Okay, so let's take your GP details, please, then, Andrew.
Sorry, Michael?
Can I take you the practice details of your GP, please?
Right, yeah, well, some of you said, surgeries that you don't actually have a particular doctor, but maybe a bunch of them, and you just get seen by whoever's on call type thing. But it was Caledonia and Healthcare.
Okay.
And I'm not too sure of the Caledonia and Healthcare. I think they've slightly changed their name now, but you would be able to pick that up.
Maybe.
And that's in Perth.
Okay. Is she fit? Oh. Hello. I did it there. I'm trying to pull up the address for the Caledonian Health Centre in Perth. Okay, so it's just called the Medical Centre on Caledonian Road, Perth.
Right, yeah, that'll be it.
if anything.
That'll be it, mate, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And an AI assistant, which is awesome, finds absolutely everything for us.
Fantastic.
Yeah, that's nice. Oh no, don't want that.
Okay, I'm
going to
leave that to the paper.
Okay, roughly how long have you been with this GP for?
I've been powered on in healthcare for probably, let me see, maybe 30 years.
Okay.
1996.
Okay, so what I'll do, go on, buddy.
Yeah, I'm just going to keep you slightly less than that, but okay.
Okay, so what I'll do, Andrew, is I'll write you the social services up in Dundee. I'll also write you GP, see what I can get from them. When I get the information back, I will share every piece of information I get from your time and care.
Yeah.
And also have your medical records as well. That's something I'm telling you. It's all your information. So I'll share absolutely everything we get with you, Andrew.
Uh-huh.
What we'll then do in 6, 8, maybe 10 months time, depending on how long these institutions take to get the information back to me, is we'll go through every piece of the evidence together. We'll make sure that you're happy with all the evidence that we've collated. And we will also, go through all of these statements for your two care systems as well.
Mm-hmm.
We'll make sure everything in your statements is as accurate and as up to date and as you want it to be said. And then from there we'll do what's called our final submission to the Scottish Redress. So that's where we collated all our evidence and then presented your case in its entirety. What we've done so far, Andrew, is we've applied for the Scottish Redress on your behalf.
Okay.
They've looked through your care settings, they've looked through your statements, they've looked through your data in care, and they've deemed you worthy enough for an application number.
Okay.
So they've given you an application number, they think you've got, may have a case. It's now on us to go out and gather the evidence and give you the best chance. So after the final submission, Andrew, what we then do is do what's called we wait for what's called a panel day. It's where a panel of individuals inside the Scottish Redress will judge or adjudicate our case. It's a behind closed door panel, Andrew, so there's no need for us to attend. And then we will be notified of hopefully of any sort of recognition of wrongdoing in the form of an apology to you from the Scottish Government. And also an offer of financial compensation, Andrew.
Yeah.
Is that okay, sir?
Yeah, that sounds like you've got it all in hand.
Perfect. Do you have any questions for me on that process, Andrew? No. I'm about to undertake for you.
No, not at all, Michael. Just thank you very much for getting in contact with us.
Thank you for talking to us. Yeah, you too, buddy. I just need to go back one step with you, Andrew.
Mm-hmm.
In the eyes of the law, sir, obviously, your alcoholism, your child of free care, you're actually deemed as what we call in the trade or in the industry as a vulnerable client. So I need to make sure that you fully understand our fees and what other options are available for you before we process and proceed.
I'm talking to your colleague, and you mentioned that obviously it's no win, no fee kind of thing. So if I'm successful, then you guys take I think it's 16% plus VAT.
Yeah.
Which works out to be 20% in total. So.
Okay.
So I'm well aware of that. You guys are doing a lot of work on behalf of me, and I'm quite happy with that.
Okay. Perfect. Thank you. I just also need to make you aware that you can actually apply for the Scottish Redress yourself. So that's the bit where you said about car fees and no win, no fee. That's absolutely bang on.
That's too much hassle for me to do. So, good for you guys to come along and,
I have one more option for just to let you know is that there are other law firms out there, Andrew, that will help you apply to the Scottish Redress, and they won't charge you any fees. The reason that they don't or won't charge fees, Andrew, is that those law firms, they get paid directly from the Scottish Government as part of the government legal fee scheme, where they get paid £2,000 per client, whether you win, lose or draw that case.
Yeah, Michael, my sister, my elder sister, she's the one that actually, she went for redress, and she's come to the end of her, I don't know, the procedure type thing. And I'm telling you, look, Andrew, maybe you need to do the same. Because she knows my story. She's actually even mentioned a few things on her claim regarding to me, but my name was redacted. The person that she was dealing with, they done the sort of no fee kind of thing, and I think that's what I didn't realise that they actually got paid by the Scottish Government for that. So
as well, some law firms get paid. So there's three ways in which law firms do it. Some law firms just take the £2,000 off the Scottish Government and just help you apply, and obviously, you know, you can make your own conclusions on how much effort they then put into getting the most. That's one way. The other way is, there's the unscrupulous law firms out there that will charge you 20% plus VAT and still take the £2,000 from the Scottish Government.
We don't
accept the Scottish Government's legal fee scheme. We've rejected it on multiple occasions. We've been advised to take it, but we won't take it. We'll never take it. We don't want to be owing anything to the Scottish Government either. What we want to do is represent our clients in a fair way. So just, we don't participate in that scheme, basically.
No, well, listen, like I said, you know, 20% of something's better than 20% of nothing. I'm quite happy with that kind of arrangement.
Okay. Excellent. You signed that agreement with us on the 31st of March. And you have called a 14-day cooling off period. So what that means is you won't start on your case until after the 14 days, and you have 14 days to change your mind and rip up the agreement with us and walk away. That runs out today. Now, if you're unaware of the 14-day cooling off period, I can restart that from today, and we won't start work on your case for another 14 days. Or alternatively, you have the right to rip up or waive the 14-day cooling off period if you're happy with us as your law firm, and we can just get started on your case straight away.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, just start straight away, mate. I really don't have any problems.
Perfect. All right, Andrew, look, you've got my number now. My name's Michael. If you save my number, if you give this number a call, just myself or one of my colleagues. If you've asked for me, they'll put you on. I'll put you over the room for me. Obviously, I'm not on the call. But I'll walk you through to the very end now, Andrew. So if you need me, thank you. Just pick up the phone and give me a call, okay?
Yeah, no worries, Michael. Thank you very much for that.
Thank you, Chef. It was lovely speaking to you. Thank you for being so
good. Okay. Have a good day. Okay, thank you very much.
Andrew.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.